Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Holy shit. There he goes. And for the audio listeners, Michael Bisping doing the running man right now. Moonwalking across the room. This is the type of commitment this man has to the show. He is ready to rock back up and about after just a few days after a very intensive surgery. Michael Bisping, how are you feeling?
A very intensive surgery indeed, and running about I am not. Merely moving like something that would resemble, what was he called? Gollum from Lord of the Rings is kind of how I'm walking these days. It's very bad. I got to lean on everything. I make a lot of noise. I sound like a little constipated old age pensioner as I'm moving through the house. It's not good. It's very, very painful. I'm taking pain pills from the moment I wake up to the moment I fall asleep because I have to get them through the night. I had to go back to the doctor and get them re-upped for something more stronger. It's been pretty bloody miserable, if I'm honest. But, you know, I mean, that's the way it goes. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And I think another week or so, and I'll be out of the woods.
And to be honest with you, at the very least, when the smoke clears, you're just going to have a minor opiate addiction. So fuck it, right? Worth it. That's what I say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what I'm on.
Jesus Christ.
See all these pills? I mean, these are what I'm on a daily basis, right? And there's a lot of high-strength opioids in there. And one of my good friends, Jason from Playline, is like, Mike, don't take all them. They're not good for you. I'm like, dude, they just chopped into my leg, ripped out my knee, and put in a metal one, okay? If ever there was a time to take opioids, now is the time. I am taking them what they were designed for, okay? I'm not taking them for recreational purposes. I'm not doing it to get high. I'm not taking, you know, I'm not drinking during the day and all the rest of it. I'm literally taking them as the doctor prescribed for pain reasons. And unfortunately, yeah, I'm on some very, 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 very strong shit.
Yeah, I'm jealous. That's all I heard is you're on some strong shit. So I'm like, that sounds awesome, man. I don't know. Maybe we can figure out a Saturday night we can get together and party.
Don't be jealous. Let's not make light of the opioid epidemic. And by the way, I'm exactly. I can't
epidemic.
Even speak right now. I'm under whatever it is. There's a problem out there involving opioids. Whatever that problem is, don't make light of it. Yeah, I'm on the tits right now. I'm not going to lie. I am off my tits right now. And if I argue with anybody and I get a little weird, then I apologize. Because like, I find myself sporadically arguing with Rebecca and the kids for no reason whatsoever. But it's because I'm not myself. I'm under the influence of medication. You know, just be a little patient, Lewis.
I'm being very patient. And I want the fans out there. I mean, if you listen to the show regularly, which, you know, I'm assuming a small percentage of people are new listeners, but most people are regular listeners. I think we have a fairly high retention rate for the believers. You can hear it in Michael Bisping's voice. This man is on some disco shit right now. He is fucking slurring. If anytime he tries to say a word,
am I slurring?
More than three syllables, yeah. If there's a word with more than three syllables, then it starts to fall apart.
Let's try it. Give me a shot, maybe, boy.
Okay,
give me a three-syllable word.
What?
Preferential. That's four.
Preferential. Okay, that was pretty good. Say...
Preferential.
Say sporadically.
Sporadically.
Okay. I feel like when it's in the wild.
Yeah.
When you... When
I,
you
I, I was going to say just singularizing or just like saying three syllables like that isn't hard. But when you're trying to speak fast, keep up with a professionally trained stand-up comedian, talk, and then in the middle of that, throw them in, you know, whilst the brain is like thinking about something completely other. Yeah, maybe there's a little slurring comes in. I tell you what. They cut me open. They cut me open real good, put a new knee in. The doctors played it down. I got to say, the doctors have done a fantastic job. I'm very, very confident. But they played it down, baby boy. Even when I left, I said, when do you think I could at least like do the stationary bike, the Peloton bike at my house? He goes, oh, tomorrow. I'm like, no way. He said, yeah, I'm telling you. I woke up the next day. I have never been in such horrific pain in my life. I literally felt somebody had blasted me with a 12-bore shotgun and I was laid on the kitchen floor dying. That's how I felt. The pain was astronomical. And then when the physio came on Saturday to do some training, I said, how long until I can walk again? He said, about 4 to 6 weeks. I'm like, what? I said, how long until I can, just live a normal life and work out? It's probably 4 to 6 months. Wow. I'm like, okay. I said, I'm telling you right now, within 1 month, I'm going to be back on my feet, training, doing whatever I need, riding a bike, maybe not running because that's like the last one I can do. But I'm telling you, I'm going to beat all of these markers.
Can I just say that I think everyone right now is listening and they're inspired. Maybe some of them threw some Rocky music on in the middle of that speech. That was incredible. I mean, I'm inspired right now. I just want to get up and I want to get out there. But as your friend, can I say maybe just listen to the doctors, let yourself heal in a way. Why are you jazz hands at me? What was that?
No. Listen, this is the perfect scenario. This is the for once in my life. See, I fucked everything up. I never listened to the doctor, okay? With my eye, that was probably my fault. The fact that I lost my vision, probably my fault. I pushed it too far too soon. You know, I went back to physical. No, but it's true. I didn't necessarily listen to the doctor's orders. I'm that kind of guy. You know, some may call me a hero. Some may call me a man's man. But I'm not going to sit on the couch and be a lazy fat fuck. You know what I mean? I want to get moving. The physiotherapist said, in this situation, the more I do, the better it's going to be. So the more
knee.
I sit on my ass. Yeah, the more I sit on my ass and let it all kind of swell together and the muscles lock in a weird position, the harder it's going to be. The more I can get up and walk and move and get riding a bike and all the rest of it, basically, the better it is. So in this situation, me being a knucklehead that doesn't listen to a doctor will actually help me.
Good. Well, that's good. Yeah, because look, I watch my son's mother has back issues. She's had back issues since I've known her, since her 20s. And you know, she kind of pulled her back, whatever it was. And then she was back in the gym the next week. Her back had felt better. And I was like, you should probably give it another week. Just heal yourself up a little bit. Take your time. Sure enough, she's in the gym, just like walking on a treadmill. She pinches a nerve again. And then she's out for like another month. I think that's good. It's good to hear that you're going to be up and running. I'm excited because if you have 4 to 6 months, there's no way you're going to beat us in the body competition. And also, hold on, I need to say something. If the body competition needs to be a little bit more clear. It's not just as simple as like, oh, who has a better body? That's fucking psychotic, okay? Michael Bisping only enters competitions he knows he's going to win, okay? If it was something that he did, if he was out of his comfort zone, i.e. Fighting Funny, the fucking hit TV show that I wanted to sell, out of his comfort zone, Michael Bisping not willing to step, right? But yeah, of course, take your shirt off, look great on fucking camera. You're literally 2 weeks away from that at any given moment. You could even fucking do crunches right now. I'm not impressed, Michael Bisping.
Literally, I got into a business where you don't know you're gonna win, okay? It's the hardest sport in the world, but yeah, I only take challenges where I know I can win. And also, once again, we spoke about this a couple of shows ago, maybe on the last show, I'm not sure, the medication's got me a little blurry, but every time you're looking for agreement, you turn to the back, you look through the glass, you're looking at Harrington, you're looking at Brian, you're like, this motherfucker can beat us right now. You're looking for them to agree. Not my fault that you're all out of shape, okay? Not my fault that you can't look after yourself. It's not my fault that I think of you in a way that I could immediately come around from surgery and call you out to a fight, to a challenge, to a fist fight. Brian, Harrington, roll the tape. If we can.
I'm drowsy. I got a little pain. I'm totally numb from my waist down. I can't feel a goddamn thing. I can't even feel my penis. I think it's way beyond what Blue Chew can do. I'm drowsy, I haven't eaten. As I say, I can't walk. I'm numb as hell. I'm in pain. But I'll still beat the fuck out of Luis J. Gomez with one hand.
Whoa. So,
numb from the waist down.
Numb from the waist down.
What happened to
you? Was your knee under there? Okay, don't move in.
It's okay.
Okay. How messed up do I look?
Ooh.
That's not too bad. Nothing to look at.
The surgery was about
3 hours. Anyway. Wow.
In that moment, I literally, and I really mean this, I swear to God, I really believe this in my soul. I my son's life, I really believe this. May I say this? In that moment,
please,
I would fucking destroy you. In that moment, you're all hopped up on medications. You just came out of surgery. You're groggy. You have one knee. It's all fucked up. I mean, in that moment, I think if there's ever a time I'm beating you in a physical fight, right there and then, I mean, all over the hospital. I just fucking drag you out of the bed, fucking ground and pound. The nurses are like, get off me, bitch. Boom, boom, boom. No chance. You have no chance in that moment.
Obviously, being an alpha male, I initially went to the response of, no, you wouldn't. I could take you and all the rest of it. But I remember when the nurse came in to like see if I could actually walk yet so I could get ready to leave the place, you know, with a walker and whatnot. I'm like, yeah, sure. But as I said on the video there, I was numb from the waist down. They gave me an epidural in my back. So literally, I couldn't feel my groin or anything. Like if I felt my dick, I could feel it in my hand, but that was it. You know, I felt there was something in my hand, but it was totally numb, which is a horrifying experience. But then when I tried to stand up, I just fell over straight away. And they had to catch me. They're like, no, get back in bed, Michael. And me being a knucklehead, I'm like, no, I'm good. Trust me, I'm good. And I tried to stand up again, and I just fell over again. They're like, Michael, get in the bed. We'll leave you alone for a few hours. We'll come back and see you. Relax, drink some water. So yeah, you might come in there. You might kick the fuck out of me, but you would never beat me. I would literally just be taking your inconsequential blows, right? Letting the surface damage tally up. You know, there'd be a little reddening of the face, a little blood coming from the nose. But I'd be like, as soon as this epidural wears off, you are a dead man, my friend. You are a dead fucking man. Anyway, just real quick before we move on, because people are probably sick of hearing us talk about this. Talking of the opioids, my God. I mean, yeah, they are very, very strong. But last night, I'm going to stop taking them. I'm on these slow release ones. They last like, you know, 5 or 6 hours. I take one in the morning, try and take one in the night. And then if they get a bit painful during the day, I take some more. But the first few nights, obviously, I was having to take more because the surgery was fresh. And yeah, last night I was hallucinating pretty badly. And like it started off, it was just like weird things. And then I'm sitting there and I'm watching TV. Rebecca had fallen asleep. And then I saw like an animated demon crawl out of the floor and then quickly run up a pole and disappear into the ceiling. Right. I just saw it like, and I was like, huh, weird. And just carried on watching the TV show. But then I thought to myself, holy shit, I just saw like a fucking weird anime. I know it wasn't there. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I never gave it too much thought. I'm like, I'm just really high. I'm hallucinating. I'm seeing demons crawl out of the floor. Anyway, I carry on.
If he did that.
Yeah. Me too, Brendan. And I carry on watching TV and I'm sitting there. I can hear talking. And I think it's Ellie and Megan in their bedroom across the way, right? So I'm like, Jesus, shut up. And I realize it wasn't them. And I'm thinking, is it coming from the balcony? So I'm looking over there at the balcony. I'm like, what the hell? Where's this talking coming from? So I mute the TV because I couldn't hear it. So I mute the TV and I'm looking around. And then I realize, and this honestly was really scary, the voices were in my head. There was a woman's voice. It was muffled and she was trying to get my attention and trying to talk to me, right? And then I realized, oh, shit, no, it's just coming from my head. And then I pressed play on the TV and I carried on watching TV. And then a couple of minutes later, I went, dump, and I paused it. And I thought, holy shit, I just had fucking legit voices in my head. And then I started to worry because I was under the effects of medication. Then I started to worry about CTE and brain damage and getting dementia and all this type of stuff. And I really worked myself up. Now, of course, I woke up this morning and I'm still as crazy and as mental and I still got as many psychological problems as I normally have. But fortunately, the voices in the head are no longer there, Lewis.
Let's see. What are signs of dementia? Everyday signs that merit a doctor's visit. Let's see.
Listen, I was high on drugs. There's no need to Google anything. I have not Google MD'd. I am not going crazy. I have not got dementia. I was on a lot of pharmaceutical drugs. I think that'll do it to you.
Does it feel like your body is warm and like it's all cozy inside? Yes.
Well, let me tell you right now, the AC is blasting and I am sweating profusely. So yes.
Okay. Does your skin feel itchy and do you feel like you have a need for more OxyContin?
I am scratching the hell out of my life. And I'm calling my doctor on an hourly basis.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is not dementia. This is signs that you have an addiction problem. You need to call a help center.
We shouldn't joke about that because it is a big problem. And unfortunately, a lot of families have lost family members, daughters, children, fathers, etc. So that is a terrible scourge in America right now.
My mother, my own mother. I can joke about it because I lost my mother to heroin addiction.
Yep, I guess you can.
And it was the cool kind too. It was actual heroin. It wasn't fucking the nerdy one that's prescribed by a doctor.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that does give you carte blanche to make as many jokes as you want. I'm just saying, for something that is a real epidemic and a problem across America right now, I'd rather not make light of it. Do I have the right?
Oh, that's the Mike Bisping's being too serious alarm going off.
Yes. It's the SJW alarm. Mike, get it together. You're being a little bitch. I'm like, yeah, I know. I can't help it. So anyway, too many drugs. I got to stop. I've stopped with the alcohol, and I'm going to try and wean myself off the opioids now because it's becoming a real thing. Anyway, enough about that.
Mike, let's just take a quick moment and talk about Keeps, which is such an incredible company. I wish I would have known about Keeps when I was younger because I'm bald. And Keeps will allow you to keep your hair. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. And the good news with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss.
Hey, that's crazy. 2 out of 3 guys by the age of 35. You know what that means, Lewis? I'm one of the three that doesn't lose hair by the age of 40. You know, I'm just that 1 in 3 guy. I'm sorry. Lewis, you're clearly one of the two. But fortunately, had you known about Keeps back in the day, I reckon you still have a full glowing lock of hair on top of your head. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keep, you can visit a doctor online and get medication delivered right to your home. This is the way people are doing it these days. You're trying to eliminate the middleman. You're busy. You don't want to sit in traffic. You don't want to wait in waiting rooms and all the rest of it. Now, prescription comes right to your door. As we said, visit a doctor online. No waiting rooms, as I said. No pharmacy. No checkout lounge, get more attention, discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your home, Lewis.
And also, Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. It's about prevention, okay? So it starts. The treatment starts at just $10 a month, and for a very limited time, you get your first month absolutely free, okay? One of my best friends in the world is using Keeps right now, changing the game for him. Justin Silver, he uses Keeps specifically. Comedian friend of mine, for great-looking guy, was using different sort of treatments, and none of them were working the way that he wanted to. He's swearing by Keeps right now.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, he's clearly then one of the nearly 100,000 trusted Keeps customers that keep coming back. They have more 5-star reviews than any other of its competitors online. So, listen, of course, Lewis is bald, and I've got a beautiful luscious head of hair. So we seem like the people not to sell this product, but I'm telling you, more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. Nearly 100,000 men keep trusting Keeps for the hair loss prevention. I mean, all the data you need is right there. Okay. Simple as that. The results speak for themselves. Lewis, tell them about the offer.
So right now, if you go to Keeps.com, KEEPS.com/believe, you're going to get your first month of treatment absolutely free. That's Keeps.com/believe. Once again, that is KEEPS.com/believe and get your first month for free. All right, where were we?
There's a lot of MMA stuff to talk about. What do we want to do before I totally go off the spectrum and say something stupid?
No, it's okay. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, UFC Boston this weekend, so let's talk about that. I say open up with that. I ended up being able to watch the main event and co-main event. I didn't realize it was Friday night until the event was just about starting. I don't know what the hell happened where I was disconnected from the fact that this was happening on Friday night and not Saturday. My head was just up my ass. So luckily, I had some time to check out the co-main and main event. Depending on where you want to start. I mean, I think starting in the main event would probably make the most sense.
Yeah.
But that's up to you.
Yeah, no, for sure. We'll start at the main event. That's the big attraction. The Friday made a nice little change. It did. I enjoyed that. Probably because I had surgery on the Thursday and I definitely wasn't leaving the house on the Friday. And I was like, oh shit, this is perfect. Got the pre-fight show, got the prelims, the main card. I'm like, okay, my entertainment for the day is taken care of. Main event, Chris Weidman, Dominic Reyes. Oh, man. I mean, where do you start? I mean, it's a real shame. But there's two sides of the coin. There always is. That's the brutal thing about fight sports. You know, it's the most amazing sport and it's the cruelest sport at the same time. Dominic Reyes left there on top of the world. Probably got performance of the night. I'm not sure, although he definitely deserved it. Still undefeated, cementing his place as a contender. Won't have had a scratch on him. Got a beautiful knockout of a former world champion. And then on the flip side, you got Chris Weidman. You know, he was there trying to reinvent himself, just much like Jacare, much like Luke Rockhold. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. But I think five of his last six fights now, he's been knocked out, unconscious. And it was quick. I mean, Chris went in. The game plan was obvious early. He shot in a beautiful double leg. It was a really, really nice double leg entry. He got inside and he managed to get Dominic down for a second. But the good news for Dominic is that he could say, listen, I was able to get back to my feet. I worked back to my feet and then I knocked him out. I didn't just catch you. You implemented your game plan for a second. You were able to secure a takedown, get me down, and I was able to get back to my feet and still knock you out, you know? So, no surprise he's saying an absolute crushing defeat for Chris Weidman. Has there been any in the media yet? I mean, has he commented? Harrington, has he spoke to Ariel Helwani, his good buddy? Has he said if he's leaning towards retirement or what?
He said he was going to consider all things, but he did say that he would be back. And initially,
all things?
Right,
he's considering a move to heavyweight? Really? No.
No, I mean, the biggest thing he had coming out of it was, the sport is tough sometimes, but I will be back better than ever.
Well, look, Weidman, he's great. It's undeniable. Weidman's great. But when you sort of look at Weidman's trajectory, I think it was a timing thing, dude. It just looked great, dude. And when you even consider what happened with Anderson Silva, right? Even both those Anderson Silva losses, or I'm sorry, those wins, there's question marks there. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was winning the fights both times, but Anderson Silva was fucking around in that first fight. He got knocked out. He broke his leg in that second fight. But sort of after that, Weidman started having some real trouble. I think he beat Lyoto Machida, which just isn't as impressive now that you sort of look back. But I think we sort of put a lot of stock in Weidman being that dude. And a move up to light heavyweight after coming off a few tough losses at middleweight against an undefeated guy who's really long, really physically gifted. I mean, there was not much of a path to victory there for him.
So the thing is, and I didn't want to use this occasion to take a dump on Chris Weidman, but you bring something up there. You talked about his trajectory, his run to the title and things like that. And I was always critical of it, to be honest, because I was out there in the UFC since 2006, fighting all comers, fucking, you know what I mean? Main events, co-main events, taking on hard fights, all the rest of it. And he came into the UFC and, you know, he got a title shot really, really quickly. I think he sat on the sidelines for almost 18 months and then got a title shot after sitting on the sidelines for a while, as I said. So I was always critical of that. And me and Chris, because of that, we did go back and forth in the media and whatnot. Now I'm retired. You know, I have nothing against Chris. I wish him the best, him and his team. They're all great people. But to my point, he made his debut against Alicia Sakara. He wasn't a bad opponent back in the day. Then he beat a guy called, well, it was the great Jesse Bongfeld. I mean, Jesse Bongfeld. then he beat Tom Lawler. You know, again, respectable win, to be honest. And then it was Damian Maia and Martin Munoz. Damian Maia and Martin Munoz, decent wins. You can't hate on that. And then he was out for a while, and then it was Anderson Silva. But as you said, the win against Anderson was very, you know, it was like, because Anderson was dicking around. You know what I mean? And he caught him with that shot. Had he not been dicking around, would that have still happened? That's always the question. So, of course, they did a rematch. And even the rematch ended like that. You know, he snapped his leg. We all saw what happened. But to be fair, he then went and defended it against Machida, which was great. And then he beat Vitor. But Vitor was not the Vitor that head kicks me in the head. Vitor looked like an old-age pensioner. So, and then he went on this current losing streak, which is a shame. I think it's more to do with the greatness of Dominic Reyes than it is the inability of Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman's still a great fighter, still very big. He's been around for a long time. He's got skills. But the reality is that, you know, I hate this expression, father time. But the clock, the body clock catches up with everybody. Simple as that. And how old is he now? Let's have a look. Let's go up to the top here.
I don't think he's that old.
35. 35 years old. It's not that old. It's not that old. But when you've lost 5 of your last 6 by knockout, if that was me, everybody around me would be telling me to retire. I know that. If I'd have lost 5 of my last 6 by knockout.
You won the title. You won the title and everyone around you was telling you to retire.
That's true. I was like in my prime, in my heyday, that it was like, Mike, retire. You know, fuck me. If I'd have lost one fight, Mike, you need to retire. 4 knockouts in a row. They're like, Mike, we're going to kill you if you continue to fight. I reckon by the time I got to 6, Rebecca would have left me. Paradigm Sports Management would have like blocked me on all social media accounts, you know. So yeah, maybe it's the time.
That's so funny when you put it that way. It's like, dude, yeah, you lose 5 out of 6. You think maybe it's time? You haven't had a fucking credible win since Mark Munoz in 2004. I don't know.
The problem is, of course, it's very attractive. You know, the money, the lifestyle, all that type of stuff. And when you're young enough and you feel you can still do it, you still want to do it. I mean, excuse me. I was watching, it came up on YouTube, Adam Carolla interviewing Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell.
My two favorite people. Love them both.
Your two favorite people. I know you do, yeah. But Chuck Liddell was talking on it, and he can hardly string a sentence together. God bless him. I'm not saying I have nothing but respect for the Iceman, but no, I shouldn't say it like that, but talking is a little bit of a challenge for him these days because he's stuck around so long. You know, he certainly shouldn't have taken that last Tito fight. And you got to think Chris Weidman, 35 years old. He's a smart guy. He's got other options. He's 35 years old. He can still reinvent himself as something completely new and different. I would say now's the time. But only he can make that decision.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, and he's such a name in the sport. Look, I don't like, and it came from doing the show with you, because before I did the show with you, the radio show, podcast, everything, I used to speak much more like it's one of these like, couch fans, what do they call them? Armchair warriors, whatever it is. Like, you just sort of be like, yeah, he needs to retire. He needs to go. It's like, I'm a little closer to it now, and I watch what happened with your retirement and your trajectory winning the title. And I see exactly how human it is and what's going on behind the scenes in the family. And there's a lot of other shit. So I have a hard time saying that a guy should retire. But if you're just being objective, you know, at what point do you say, Weidman, every time you lose, you're sort of shaving off some more of that legacy. There's value in you being the guy who beat Anderson Silva twice, value in you being the guy who won the UFC middleweight title. But we have fair weather fans. And, you know, the further we get away from that, your legacy is being eroded. And the value afterwards, owning a gym, training, creating a team, whatever it is, that value also erodes.
Yeah, absolutely. This medication is driving me crazy because I had a really good point and now it's completely escaped me.
You're just seeing like little horns on my head.
What was that? Oh, the demon's back. It's running up the street again. No. Oh, yeah. There's always going to be value in that. There's always going to be value in the fact that he was the former world champion. He defended the belt multiple times. That's an amazing feat. But what does happen, which is also a sad reality of the fight game, the more you lose, the more that goes in the rearview mirror. The more that becomes less of the story, and the story becomes a guy that's stuck around for too long, continuing to get knocked out. That's unfortunate. You know, this sport's what have you done for me lately? You know, unless you have a great career and you win the belt and you retire shortly after and you maybe put in the Hall of Fame and everyone adores you, you know, if you could pull that off somehow, then maybe that's how you'll be remembered. But if you're just getting knocked out all the time, unfortunately, MMA fans are kind of fair-weathered. And then also, when you're trying to, you know, parlay a fight career into entertainment outside of the UFC, acting, hosting, whatever it is, you know, if you're the guy that they just know for getting knocked out all the time, it's not that sexy. You know what I mean? But anyway, I wish Chris the best of luck in whatever he chooses to do. He's a great guy, even though he posts some fucked up pictures about my eyes back in the day. I got a lot of respect for him and his family. I wish them all the best. But we're going to talk about Dominic Reyes real quick, because here's the thing. A lot of people think it's a good idea to move up in weight. I think, you know, Conor moved up a weight class and won the belt, made it look easy. DC went up a weight class and knocked out Stipe, made it look easy. Everyone's thinking, oh, I'm just going to jump up a weight class. This is easy, because, in fact, that is my actual weight class because I'm not cutting weight. But you got to remember, they're also cutting weight, and they do hit harder. They have more power. They are stronger, you know, and they definitely hit harder. And that was clearly evident. I mean, you never normally see Wyman get knocked out like that. Yes, he got stopped against Jacare in his last fight, but that was the end of the third round in an absolute slugfest back and forth battle. That was the first clean left hand. Boom, put him away. You know, so...
And also, you know, I mean,
Reyes is a real fucking deal.
Right. I mean, Reyes, the physical difference there, I mean, he's so big. I mean, I know Weidman, like, I guess he's a big 185-pounder, but I mean, dude, Reyes looked gargantuan compared to him. It's a weird thing, though, because now they're saying, all right, well, what's next for Reyes? He should fight John Jones. It's kind of weird to even be having that conversation after he beats Chris Weidman. You know, and it's not a knock on Chris Weidman. It just is what it is. It's Chris Weidman's debut at 205. He's, you know, he hasn't looked great in recent coming years. Where it's a great win, it's a big high profile win, I think it's more impressive to beat Ovince St. Preux or Jared Cannonier than it was to beat a middleweight Chris Weidman. So he's sort of in a weird position now. I don't know if he's ready for John Jones yet. That conversation is kind of, I don't know, I think it's a little bit too early to put him against John Jones, but also at the same time, 12-0, you never know, he just might be the guy.
12-0, 6-0 inside the UFC. Made his UFC debut against Joachim Christensen, then Jeremy Kimball. But then it was the fight with Jared Cannonier. As we saw now, Cannonier is on a fast track to a UFC middleweight title shot. So that fight, carries more prestige, the win. Then he fought and beat Ovince St. Preux. Remember, he fought John Jones for the interim belt, right?
Then went to a decision.
Oh, yeah. He went to a decision with Jones, that's right. Then he fought and beat Volkan Ozdemir, who fought for the belt. Then he fought former champion, a guy that defended the belt, Chris Weidman. So on paper, his resume, he's certainly stacking the chips that he needs to get a title fight. I think Jones was dismissive earlier this week. Harrington, do you have any info on that? I believe I saw some tweets where he said, listen, I don't need to pay any attention to these guys. Something like that. Is there any truth to what I'm saying, or did I totally imagine that along with the voices in my head?
Yeah, essentially what he said was, you know, everybody comes up, talks shit, then gets slept. The same thing will happen to you when talking about Reyes. He said that nobody really interested in him all that much. He said he's already won the Adesanya War of Words, so that bores him now. And the biggest thing for him is just waiting for Stipe versus DC, see who wins that, and maybe head up in a few months' time to heavyweight.
Wow. That'd be actually really cool to see Jones step up and face the winner of Stipe or DC. Well, if Stipe wins, he'll fight Stipe. DC wins or loses, he's going to retire. We all know that. But yeah, we'll talk about that some other day. All right, let's just take a quick second to talk about SoRight. So-right.com. We've talked about these before. It's a beautiful, very, very uninvasive, minimalistic piece of molded plastic that is basically used to kind of mimic a masseuse's forearms, elbows, whatever it is they need to get into nooks and crannies, certain parts of your body. They've replicated that with this piece of plastic. Now, you got to do your work yourself, but they do work. And now, of course, I've just had surgery, but I'm reinventing myself. New knee, new me. Just you wait and see. And one of the things I'm working on is the range of motion, because my range of motion is terrible. New knee, new me, Lewis. You're going to hear that a lot coming up. But still, the range of motion is bad. I've been using the sole right just in the shoulders there, and it's perfect. You know, you haven't got to drive down, waste an hour, go and see a masseuse, sitting in traffic, all the stuff. It's right there.
Also,
whenever you can be bothered. Sometimes you might just want to do 5 minutes, not 30 minutes, just 2 minutes. I try and use it when I get out of bed and before I go to bed, and then I try and have a little 10 minutes in the afternoon.
A lot of people have said that about Michael Bisping. They said the reason that he lost his title was his range of motion. If you had had Sowright before your title fight, there's a good chance you would still have that title. Am I wrong or am I right?
You are so right, Lewis, and I mean so right. And I'm telling you, if I had that device earlier in my career, I would still have two knees. I would not have needed that knee surgery. Now, disclaimer, all right, it isn't going to prevent a knee surgery, and it isn't going to prevent you from losing an eye, but it is going to prevent the loss of range of motion. It is going to prevent pain in your back, pain in your psoas. It will help you work out. It will save you time, and it will definitely save you money.
Reduces muscle tension. Well, it reduces muscle tension, increases circulation, prevents injuries, and it adds to your range of motion. It is the most amazing tool for muscle recovery you're ever going to have. Super affordable. Here's the deal. Right now, go to Sowright.com. That is PSO-RITE.com. Make sure you know the way that is spelled. That's PSO-RITE.com. And use the promo code BISPING20, B-I-S-P-I-N-G 20. You save 20% off your entire order. This is a great gift for the holiday season. It's a really cool, unique gift. It will help you. It will help you guys with so many different things that you need help with. Don't waste all the money and time on massage therapists, letting weirdos touch your body in weird places. You don't want that. Sowright is where it's at. PSO-RITE.com. Use that promo code BISPING20 and save 20%. All right, let's get back into it.
Co-main event. I mean, I'll just start off like this. You know, I'm not supposed to be biased, and I'm not being biased, but how can you not love Jeremy Stephens? I mean, because he went out there. He had a tough first two rounds, man. A very tough first two rounds, but then poured it on him in the third round. And, you know, he's just a true fighter. You know, has the true spirit of a fighter, and he always has my respect. But what did you think of the fight, Lewis?
Incredible. I mean, incredible. Obviously, fight of the night. They both got performance of the night bonuses, and rightfully so. Look, that second round, he came back in the second half of that second round. It wasn't enough. He didn't put the same type of beat down on him the same way that he was sort of – he had more beaten up, I guess, in the first half of that second round. But he was fucking great. And to be honest with you, moral victory, that was supposed to be a five-round fight. If that fight kept on going the way it looked like it was going, Jeremy Stephens was coming on stronger and stronger. That third round was dominant. You know, he has a right to be to hold his head very high, very, very high. And they were going to do it at altitude as well. So the fact that he was able to sort of win the second half of that fight, if I was him, I would be trying to maybe try to avenge that loss at one point. Because number one, it's an incredible fight that there was a lot of drama around as well. But you sort of look at it, if I was him, I'd be going like, dude, this was supposed to be a five rounder. I could have, looking at that, I would have convinced myself that I would have won the five round fight.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you look at the fight, you know, if you look at it, like, I don't know what you call it. I don't know. It started off, it was all domination from Yair Rodriguez. He landed some beautiful body kicks. He had Stephens hurt pretty early on. I think it was a left kick to the body that really winded him. But then as the fight progressed, The momentum shift totally shifted over to Stephens. The second half of the fight, the second half of the second round, he took over that round. I don't think, honestly, it was enough to win in that second round. No. I still think Yair won the first two rounds, but still, he took over. And then the third round, went out there and dominated that third round. I guess maybe there was a case for a 10-8. I don't think so, but I could see the, you know, why some people may argue that it was certainly a dominant round. But yeah, if there was another two rounds to go, you got to think that would favor Jeremy. However, you know, Yair was capable of like landing some freaky kick on you that could end it there and then. But still, yeah, there is a moral victory there. But you got to say, well done, Yair Rodriguez. You know, looking better and better. He looked sensational those first two rounds. Third round, you know, showed he needs to work on his takedown defense. Remember when he fought Frankie Edgar? That didn't go too well. Obviously, the takedown defense wasn't there then. And Jeremy, yeah, he's a good wrestler. But if Jerry wants to take on the top boys and he wants to be a champion one day, he's going to have to clean up that wrestling defense, you know, that hole there, shall we say.
Yeah, I'm having Harrington look up the CompuStrike for round two because I would like to see what that difference was in that second round. Because I watched it back a second time, and it was just a really close round. I don't know. And I guess the round two was being argued as a 10-8 for Yair. People were saying that was that dominant of a round. I don't know. When halfway through the round, you get turned over and Jeremy Stephens is on top of you, beating you, you know, and literally just doing ground and pound, controlling the second half of the round. How do you argue for a 10-8? I mean, I understand the 10-9, but...
No, so the argument in round two was that Rodriguez early in the round certainly did enough to earn a 10-8 and almost put him away. Stevens battled back from that, making it a 10-9 with his effort late in the round. But I'm looking here, the CompuStrike number 62 of 97 total strikes landed, 41 of 73 significant strikes for Yair Rodriguez. Stevens was 21 of 34 total strikes, 11 of them significant.
Yeah, just nowhere near. Yeah, you're right. It was nowhere near as close. I think it was just when you look at the grappling, when somebody's on top, you just forget exactly how active Yair was being. And he really had him hurt, really had him hurt bad. Everyone thought that second round it was going to get stopped. Yair's a beast.
He's a beast for sure. He's the real deal. I mean, he's certainly at the start of that fight, it looked like he was going to take him out of there pretty quick. He looked fantastic. As I say, he's struggling with the wrestling a little bit. I would say that's the only hole that I can see in his game. His striking is beautiful. It's unorthodox. It's fast. It's effective. It's powerful. He's got the confidence, and he's getting the wins. You know, he's certainly a contender. We've got a contender on our hands for sure. So well done, Yair, and... Jeremy Stephens will always be one of my favorite guys to watch. He just brings it every time, and he's a true fighter. He's a real man's fighter. And, commiserations, but the show goes on for Jeremy. What else should we talk about then? We're looking at these notes here, and there's all kinds of stuff.
Anything else of the night? Just a couple little honorable mentions. I guess Joe Lauzon told Dana White, no matter what happens in this fight, obviously he had a dominant first round. Was it a
knockout?
Yeah. Knockout or TKO? But I guess after he got the dominant knockout, he was like, I don't want to retire.
Yeah, because I was watching that fight and Joe Lauzon went out there and just blitzed him, put it on him right from the get-go, landed some good shots, eventually got the takedown and then got the submission, I think it was, or a TKO, whatever it was. It was extremely dominant from start to finish. And he looked as good as he's ever looked. And I read that story that you're referring to yesterday and I was like, oh, shit. I had no idea that earlier that day or earlier that week, he'd spoken to Dana and said, yeah, regardless of the outcome, I'm going to retire because he looked like a guy in his prime. But prior to that, I think he had lost a few, so I understand it. And he'd been away for a little while as well. Excuse me. But I don't think the time is right. You know, but I don't know what he's going through. I don't know his personal situation. I don't know if he has injuries and stuff. But certainly after that performance, man, I want to see Joe Lauzon fight again. 100%. Who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, well, Joe Lauzon, also fan favorite, big name, been around for a long time, Ultimate Fighter winner, I want to say. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe.
But, I mean, look, dude, the Lauzon brothers are awesome. It's just that sort of that weird transitional period between the old guard and the new guard. It's where you came up.
Everybody's leaving. They're all going. Yeah, a couple of years ago on this thing on UFC Tonight, we had a segment, who do you think is going to be retired by the end of the year? And I was like, well, I can't say about 1 year, but I'll tell you what, in 2 years' time, we're all going to be gone, right? And I guarantee 2 years from now, there'll be no McGregor, there'll be no Tyron Woodley, there'll be no, well, there is no Michael Bisping, no Rashad Evans, there'll be no DC. Who else? There's definitely going to be no Anderson Silva.
Wait, how long
from
now?
A lot of the face, 2 years from now.
From now, what's the date?
All the big names.
October 21st.
Mid-October. You're playing a long game. I'm talking 2 years. You really believe in 2 years' time, you're going to go, oh, Mike, that's why on the 17th of October, 2019, we proposed a little bet. And guess what? Now it's time to pay the piper. You really think that's going to happen?
Set a Google alarm, baby boy. It'll go ding, 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 ding. And then we'll go, oh, shit, you remember this? And we'll have a list.
And we'll go, oh, yeah. Yeah, that was right. Yeah, turns out it wasn't. It's fascinating to talk about now, but not fascinating to revisit in 2 years, okay? Let's speculate.
You think Connor?
Say things with no It doesn't matter because we're just speculating. We don't want to come back with facts. That's boring. That proves us all wrong. So, no, we were wrong there. He's still here. Blah, 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 blah. We were totally wrong. No fun in that, Lewis. No fun in that. Speculation, that's fun.
I'll speculate. Let's speculate. Let's do it. You say Conor McGregor retired. 2 years. Conor McGregor, gone. Not in the sport of MMA anymore.
Gone. Jose Aldo, gone. DC, gone. Who else you got? Anderson Silva, gone. Tyron Woodley, gone.
John Jones.
Not gone. Give me names.
I'll give you names.
Harrington. Oh, God.
Harrington.
Shogun. 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 Gone.
Rampage.
Gone. Glover Teixeira, gone.
Tito.
He's already gone.
Brendan Schaub.
Long gone. Long gone. I'm joking, Brendan. Love you, buddy. What else we got? Yeah, so anyway, a lot of the fighters that we're used to, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, gone.
What?
Uriah Faber, he was gone, but he'll be back. But he'll be gone. Yeah, I'm telling you, Dominic Cruz, definitely gone. Henry Cejudo will still be around. But a lot of the names that we're most familiar with right now, you know, that we tune in to watch the UFC for, they'll all be gone. You know, but the UFC know this. They know what they're doing. That's why we're seeing focus, you know, no new main events and co-main events and the prelim headliners, you know, to give the new breed, the new generation, the spotlight. And in a couple of years, yeah, we won't give a damn about those guys. Donald Cowboy Cerrone, gone.
Easy, Mr. Bisping. Don't disrespect Cowboy on this show. Not on the Believe You Me podcast.
Whoa. There's no disrespect. I'm just saying. Time catches up. 2 years in the fight game is a long time. I'm just saying. He's had a long career. He's had a great career. He's the fucking man. No insult. No disrespect.
No disrespect.
Do not put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby, you fucking prick, okay? I'm just saying. I'm haphazardly throwing the idea out there that potentially he might be retired in 2 years. How is that disrespectful?
Donald Cowboy Cerrone,
fuck him.
Dead to Michael Bisping. Dead to Michael Bisping in 2 years, his career and his personal life. Yeah, Connor, I don't know, but it's kind of interesting because you're saying this, and you're right. The UFC does a great job, you know, at building these brands, and you got to understand what happened there. If Conor McGregor spent his career fighting for one fighting championship or Bellator or any other brand, he would not be the superstar that he is today. There's no debate about it. The UFC understands how to build that brand. And it's interesting because Dana White, I guess he's getting some shit about this. He said that Conor is no longer the dude. I'm paraphrasing. And that Khabib is now the guy. And, you know, I guess it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess. Once he starts saying it and Joe Rogan starts saying it and everyone else starts saying it, everyone just kind of goes, yeah, I guess he's right. But
yeah,
right.
Well, there was no need to paraphrase because you weren't paraphrasing. You just changed one word. You said he's no longer the man. You said he's no longer the dude. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. You could have just said man. And then you went on to say, yeah, he said he's no longer the man. Okay, so you were not paraphrasing. What are you writing down there? Name of the title?
No. I was looking at Harrington chats me throughout the show with facts.
Yeah. Give
5 minutes
give
too late.
Ammunition.
No, five minutes too late.
Fuck you.
You know what I just got? Literally, just now.
Yeah.
He was a semifinalist losing to Melvin Gambirian. To Manny Gambirian, first of all.
Who was?
He's talking about Joe Lozon. He's talking about Joe Lozon. This is what I get just now, a fucking chat message saying that he was thanks, Harrington. We appreciate you being very timely with your facts. Fact checking Harrington.
Yeah, and giving wrong names. Who did he say?
Melvin.
Manville who?
Manville Gambirian.
Melvin Gambirian. You mean Manny Gambirian?
Yeah. I think it actually was Manville. That was his name.
Yeah, no, maybe Melvin Gillard. What were we talking about? Where were we? Oh, yeah. So Dana went out there. And listen, I mean, he said, Conor's not the man anymore. Khabib is the man, so I guess he gets to call the shots. That's not a lie. He's the champ. If you're the champ, you're the man. If you're the only undefeated champ in the UFC, that also gives you a little more extra the man. If you've also got a ridiculously large following and you're the biggest Muslim athlete out there on the planet, that also, yeah, that makes you the man. But it turns out Conor took exception to that, wasn't very happy, and immediately went right back at Dana. What did he say?
Well, you can do an Irish accent, so why don't you do it?
Oh, God's sake. Fuck's sake. Who's not the fucking man, then, eh? You wee shitbag, you. Eh? Your man that had the marquee event, did he? More like a fucking, more like an event in a marquee. A fucking tent in the fucking sand it was. Keep spoofing to yourself, horse. Jock Snap Sniffer Championships. Eh? Who's not the man? Your man that had the event in the marquee. Eh? Now, I'm doing a fucking Northern Irish accent, right? Because I can't do a fucking Southern Irish. Right? I do a fucking Northern. Because my fucking family are fucking from Northern Ireland, you right, you wee bastard. Yeah, okay? Don't fucking talk shit and say don't talk like this. And then fucking north of Ireland, you fucking talk like this, all right? So you do. So fuck yourself all day long, right? So where were we?
Your Connor is my favorite impression out of all of
that. That's not a Connor. It's not a Connor. Because the Southern Ireland and the Northern Ireland is very, very different. The Northern Irish is much more harsh. But
I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, kicking off with right.
I prefer your impressions of fighters than our actual interviews with real fighters. They really make me laugh every time.
Well, next time we can't get an interview lined up, just we'll do it via phone call. We'll say that I couldn't make it. You interview me.
Beautiful.
And I'll just put a fake accent. To which, by the way, Anthony Evans, I'm pulling back the curtain here a little bit. Anthony Evans, who incidentally wrote my book, didn't write my book. We wrote it together. He did the type and every night we were on the phone recording conversations. Took months. Anyway, he knows me very, very well, as is clearly evident. The fact he wrote my book, that's why he was the perfect person to do it. But on more than one occasion, we used to go out when I was, the early days of the UFC in England, and I had interviews lined up in the morning, and I'd go out and I'd get too hammered the night before, and he would take them pretending to be me. And he would pretend to be me on, because obviously they've got no idea whether it's Michael Bisping or Anthony Evans. We're both from the north of England, and he knew who I was. He probably knew what I was going to say. In fact, I think they were the best interviews I ever did in my life. So thank you, Anthony.
Who did the voiceover for your audiobook? Because it was supposed to be you initially, and then I know you at one point you said on the show, you're like, I got like another 3 days to do this, and I haven't even started. I was like, he's not fucking doing this. So who actually ended up doing the audio voiceover?
Yes, yeah, some voiceover actor from Manchester, I believe, for the UK version, because the deadline was closing and a lot of people wanted me to do it. And I do apologize to everyone. That would have been fucking awesome. I tried to do it. I just had too much going on. UFC duties galore. I was in Cape Town. I was in South Africa. I was flying everywhere. I had the contender, all types of stuff. It just wasn't going to happen. So I sent them an email. I said, listen, I got to be frank. I got to be upfront. I can't meet this deadline. But it gets released early next year in the US. And I will be doing the audio version for that one because we've got more time, obviously. But
just in time for Christmas.
For Christmas.
Next
there
year.
Oh, surprise.
I think I can download the audiobook right now. It's on Audible. Can I just download the audiobook? Or you can only be in England and download the audiobook?
I'm not sure. I don't know the ins and outs. I haven't read the contract. Funnily enough, I haven't tried to buy it. I haven't tried to buy it because I don't need to. Do you know what I mean?
Do you have that sample? Can you? Because there's a sample of the audiobook on Audible, and I want to hear if the guy sounds like you at all.
Well, no. We're not doing this because if he does, great. And if he doesn't, we're just going to rip the piss out of it. Fuck you. We're not going to fucking make fun of the audio version of my book live on the podcast for a couple of laughs and effect sales. So if you want to mock, you do it on your own time, baby boy. Right? My autobiography is a beautiful, nice piece of art. And you give it the respect it's due. Anyway, can we get back on track 20 times? Yeah. Dana and Connor. Fucking, that's ballsy of Connor. You know what I mean? It's not ballsy because Dana's, but it's quickly it's funny how quickly people forget. Because as you said before, I mean, they stuck Connor on the front page of every single fucking magazine. They spent a fortune on PR for him. Now, of course, he was the person to bet on. He was a very charismatic guy. He delivered in the octagon as well. So he was the total package. And he was from a new market. So it was wise business from the UFC side. But now simply because he says, yeah. The reality is, Connor, you're not the champ anymore. Khabib's the fucking champ, and he's just saying he's not the man. Khabib's the man. I guess he gets to pull the shots, and that really fucking hit a nerve.
I wonder, the reality is this. Whoever can sell more tickets is the man. Yes, Khabib, in a very literal sense, is the man. He has the title. In that sense, Weili Zhang's the man, and Connor's not the man. Weili Zhang's not the fucking man. Let's get real, okay? The title means, it means to a certain degree, but when it comes down to it, I don't know that Conor McGregor still won't be the highest paid man in mixed martial arts whenever he comes back.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I'm not a huge Conor fan. I respect a lot what he's done for the sport, but, you know, we've taken our own shots at him on this show. But, you know, Conor sort of has this thing where if he comes back, as much as Dana White and the UFC sort of want to save face, I feel like he sort of calls the shots at the very least for his career. I know Dana White said that he wants him to fight, who was it? It was either Cowboy or Gaethje, which is, I mean, Gaethje versus Conor is such an incredible fight, but if you're Conor, I mean, is there much upside in that fight?
No upside at all. And of course, he was calling out Frankie Edgar. Thanks, babe. He was calling out Frankie Edgar and trying to make that fight happen. And of course, Frankie accepted, but Dana's put the kibosh on that as well. He said, no, doesn't make sense. Doesn't make for Frankie. Doesn't make sense for Frankie. And doesn't make sense for Conor. And it doesn't make sense for the UFC either. I mean, because you got to think in that fight, more than likely, you know, Conor would have a good night at the office. You know, it's a guy that's way smaller than him. Okay, admittedly, does have a stylistic matchup that will give Conor problems, admittedly. But still, size is a big factor here, you know. And here's a guy that was going down to 135. Conor's at 155. It's a massive size difference there. Mm. Frankie's at the end of his career, you know. And let's not forget, even though I think a lot of people would watch that fight, I don't know how much Conor gets paid, but it's a lot of money. And for the UFC to justify paying Conor, I don't know, $10, $15 million, maybe more, they're like, we ain't paying you that kind of money for you to come in and pick on fucking little Frankie Edgar going down to 135, motherfucker. Okay? Right, if you want $15 million, great. But you're going to fight someone properly.
And then also
set imaginations on fire.
If let's say Frankie Edgar slays Conor McGregor, the beast that is Conor McGregor, it's almost like, well, now you're just sort of like killing the cash cow that is Conor McGregor with Frankie, who's already at the end of his career, that's had every title shot under the sun. So there's not much upside there if Frankie does win. And then if he loses, it's just sort of paying Conor McGregor a lot of money to beat a guy that he should beat. So, yeah, I get it. You're 100% right.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I never thought of it, but from that respect, I mean, because what if Frankie does win? Here's a guy, he couldn't win the belt at 145. He hasn't sniffed a title fight for a long, long time at 155. That's why he went down. And in fact, he can't get his shit together in those weight classes. He's going down to 135 to reinvent himself again. And the guy's about 73 years old. He's about to retire anytime now. So why are we going to let him just fucking fully extinguish our cash cow with his an ounce of credibility to him? Do you know what I mean? So yeah, from everybody's perspective, I guess it does. I guess Dana is right. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, if you explain it like that to Frankie Edgar, even Frankie would go, "Ah, you know what, Bisping, you're making some sense here."
Yeah, no. Frankie's the man. As I say, I think Frankie's got a stylistic problem for him and a very good possibility of beating him. And for those reasons that we just said, that's probably why they never did it. But you know what? It is interesting. He had that little rant at Dana. Dana probably just laughed it off. He had that little rant at Dana. He's actually having a press conference in Moscow next week, Conor, personally having his own press conference. Now, listen, we know what's going on. If you look on his social media, his whiskey just launched there. So he's going over there. He's trying to rally up sales for his whiskey brand. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes down, because I think he's hoping, and more than likely, because wherever he goes, he does attract a lot of media, a lot of attention, and a lot of fight fans. So if there's a crazy, crazy, crazy turnout, which all they've got to do is say that they're giving away free whiskey at the press conference, which I guarantee they do. I guarantee there will be free whiskey at the press conference, okay? And that place will be fucking packed out, and it'll be the wildest press conference you've ever seen in your life.
It's Russia. Right?
And they'll say, and then they can twist that and say, see what a big deal I am? See what a big deal I am in Russia, and you won't make the fight between me and Khabib in Russia. And I also think it's Conor's way of just prodding Khabib even more, saying, look, I'm going to come to your backyard. I'm going to hold press conferences like I'm the man, contrary to whatever Dana says. And because that's the fight he wants, because for Conor, there's no danger to fight Khabib. What's the worst that's going to happen? He'll be in the same position he's in now. Yeah, okay. You got beat by the better guy. Well, right now, the public perception is that Khabib is already the better guy anyway. You know what I mean? So nothing changes, and you get a big payday out of it, and you're right in the exact same spot. For him to go fight a Justin Gaethje or anyone like that, yeah, that's fucking dangerous, because now he's back to fighting guys in non-title fights, in fights that he might lose. You know what I mean? So it's almost like he's gone back to the start of his career. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, look, just put Conor in superstar, massive, massive fights. Let's get real. If I'm the UFC, I'm putting the only people I'm putting Conor against, because he's only got a few fights. You said it yourself. 2 years, you don't think Conor McGregor's in the sport anymore. And I agree with you. To be honest with you, I really do. I think that he's made too much money and he's starting to lose. So it's not like you can only lose so much before you go, I'll just go be a fucking billionaire, you know, and live in a castle probably in Ireland and just make whiskey and be a superstar and get into movies eventually. Whatever his trajectory is going to be, he's going to be a massive star. But if I'm the UFC, I want to just capitalize every single time he's in the octagon. Let's say he fights once a year over the next 2 or 3 years. It's going to be against Nate Diaz. It's going to be against a Nick Diaz, a George St. Pierre. You know, obviously Khabib. Everyone wants to see the Khabib rematch. That's sort of what I'm going to reserve Conor for. I don't see the upside. And I guess if you're Justin Gaethje or one of these other guys, yeah, you build a massive star in one of these guys. But if I'm Conor's team, I should say, I'm just saying, fuck it. Let's make massive money every time we get into the cage. Win, lose, or draw doesn't really matter. Look at Brock. Brock came back after 2 losses, I believe, and still got a massive payday. You know, these guys that are stars like this, they can sort of do what they want. So yeah, that's that for Conor. I think it's funny that he's going to be giving out free whiskey at the press conference. They don't even need to do that much. If they just, it's Russia. All they got to do is offer electricity and some bread. Let's have lines out the door.
I don't know for a fact they're going to offer free whiskey, but I'm guessing the whole purpose of this is to promote Proper 12. You know what I mean? That's all it's about. Okay. Cause he just launched there and now he's going to go there. He's going to give the whiskey sales a boost. And therefore, what if you're advertising or trying to boost whiskey sales, you're going to have some there at the press conference. There'll be multiple booths. There'll be lots of skinny little girls, you know, like promo girls giving out free whiskey. In fact, we should fucking go. Sounds like a great time.
Oh, yeah.
But there you go.
All right, Mike, let's take a quick second and talk about Sheath, which is such a great company. They make maybe the best underwear in the world. The most comfortable underwear I've ever worn in my entire life. They have multi-directional fabric, which sculpts precisely to the body. It's moisture wicking, cooling, stretchy, breathable, and incredibly comfortable. They keep you cool and comfortable. You're not having sweaty balls, which honestly, we all have sweaty ball syndrome. If you're a manly man like me and Bisping, guess what? Your balls are going to get sweaty. They have traditional boxer briefs, but they also have a brief with a dual pouch for your upstairs and downstairs that keeps everything separated in one place. Bisping, you swear by them. You record the podcast in Sheath underwear every fucking week.
Listen, here's the thing. I'm a little bit biased now because not only do I love their underpants, do I love their underwear, I love their t-shirts, because they very kindly, and God bless Sheath, they keep sending me all kinds of stuff, and they're doing some women's stuff now as well, because Rebecca was like, Michael, I love those underpants. They're comfy as hell, right? That's all I know. I know they're comfy, and they look good. Right, and that's, for me, two of the main things you want. You know, when I'm walking around at home, if I'm not going out, I don't necessarily get dressed. I put a t-shirt on and underpants. They're nice looking underpants. My wife likes the way they look. I've had plenty of compliments, and she wants some as well. So they're branching out into women's knickers and shorts and all types of stuff. So keep an eye out for them. But listen, they're so comfortable. So comfortable. Yeah. As my waistline is expanding a little bit, you know, some of the other underwear, they're not quite as giving, but let me tell you, the Sheath, they are my go-to every single time. Everybody wants nice underwear. You need new underwear at some point. Give them a try. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee that. I guarantee right now, there is no way on this earth that you will order those shorts, those boxer shorts, those underwear, and when they come, you say, I don't like these. The quality's off. They're not comfortable. That will not happen.
And right now, if you go to sheathunderwear.com, that is S-H-E-A-T-H, or if you're Michael Bisping, S-H-E-A-T-H, underwear.com, and use the promo code BELIEVE30. BELIEVE30, you're going to save 30% off your entire order. This is a great gift. If you're listening to this show, you have a gift for the holidays you want to give for somebody, even just for yourself, dude. When's the last time you bought a nice pair of amazing underwear for yourselves? It's been a while. Treat yourself right now. Go to sheathunderwear.com. That is S-H-E-A-T-H underwear.com and use that promo code BELIEVE30. Save 30% off your whole order. You will thank me. Your wife will thank me. Everyone will thank us. Enjoy yourself. Go to sheathunderwear.com. Use that promo code BELIEVE30. All right. Where were we?
Okay. I'm going to change subjects here. I said I didn't want to talk about it to Harrington, but he puts it in the news all the time. Okay. So now, and you wanted to talk about it as well, Lewis. So I'll give you a chance.
What?
The floor is yours.
What are you talking about?
Paige Van Zandt. I know you want to talk about her. What is going on? Harrington?
I don't even care about Paige Van Zandt.
Lewis? No. You prefaced it before we even went live. So Paige Van Zandt, take it away. In-depth analysis. What have we got?
Well, Mike, I'm just trying to do my best here as a journalist, right? Paige Van Zandt shared some photos over the weekend that makes me think the 125-pound standout may be looking at making a jump to bantamweight.
Oh, yeah, she's looking a little bit thicker. I get what you're saying. This is an interesting story. I like this. We can get into this. So, Mike, what do you think?
Well, I mean, listen. Now you mention it, it's funnily enough that you know, I feel there is a real complexity that needs to be discussed around the weight classes that women are in. And I think you should leave this shot on the screen for a little bit longer, just while I take a closer look. The only thing is, what has she got in her hand? Oh, no, it's a floor. It's a floor vent. So it kind of looks like she's holding a cigarette. That kind of kills it. Harrington, so let me tell you this. So you've got the nerve and the audacity to look at this picture of this young girl in a bikini, flaunting on Instagram, feeling cute, might delete later type of thing, although that's all she does these days. So God bless her. You got to play to your strengths. And you look at this, Harrington, and you, Lewis, and the first thing that you think is, oh, my God, she's put a few pounds on. She needs to lose a few. Maybe she's going up a weight class. I mean, because, yeah, you wouldn't be seen dead in bed with her, Harrington, right? I'm assuming. I mean, because she's way too fat for you.
Mike, I don't know what you're talking about. I see an athlete. I see nothing but a specimen of fighting in front of me, and that's the only thing that I'm looking at is where does this body stack up against the other killers at 135 right now?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, Harrington, I'll tell you right now, I just want to get this off my chest. I think she looks great at this weight class. I think maybe moving up, this might be a way to reinvent herself. And to be honest with you, I think that she's a very commendable, great young woman, and she's just...
I'll tell you this. Listen, my wife is floating about, but she's not an idiot. She doesn't mind. She looks fucking great. It's a great physique. You know, I don't see if there's any... She doesn't like she's carrying any weight to me. I do find it curious, though. She does have that gap between her legs. Her thighs aren't touching at all. Right? Do you reckon she's photoshopped in a bit of that skirting board, that white? Because I think she looks great, but her thighs should be touching, I would say.
You think so? But I think that's a sign of a fucking fit chick, right? If their thighs don't touch. Is that supposed to be a thing?
Yeah. Lewis, the thigh gap is a thing.
A thigh gap is a thing. If you have a thigh gap.
The thigh gap is a thing. Again, last week, what we were trying to break down, two fighters that Vito Belfort, I knew them in detail, right? Right. I'm 40 years old. I've been married for a long time. Right, I'm a successful guy in multiple genres of life. You're going to fucking Harrington. You're going to Harrington. And listen, I know he slays pussy. I know he's a killer on the dance floor. I know that, you know, you got to lock up your daughters whenever Harrington's around. But please, come on. Now, Harrington, tell us more about the thigh gap.
Well, it's a mark of fitness for women. It got popular around 2014, 2015. Yeah. The pose is just to stand exactly like that, about feet shoulder length apart. And if there's a gap in your thighs, you're doing all right.
And then if you're not.
Yeah, so here's what I've noticed, though. She's not standing shoulder width apart. Look at the right leg.
It's a little bit like the right leg's a little bit out. Like she put her right foot in, she put her right foot out,
Did it to get the thigh gap. Photoshopping.
Wait a minute, no Photoshop,
tactical,
but you're right.
Tactical stance.
And here's the thing. She has she has 30 of these photos in her phone, right? Every angle possible. And then the one that had the perfect thigh gap, she went click, that's it.
Okay, so we're going to do topless shots, okay, for our body challenge. But we need to have a good thigh gap in there, okay? If there isn't a thigh gap in the shots, okay, from any of the believers, we're serious. We're gonna do our pictures. We'll save it for the next show.
You know what we have to do?
Pictures, okay? But send them in, but we got to have a thigh gap.
Well, this is a contest we're having, guys. What's the date that it has to be by, right? So here's the actual contest. If you – it is a before and after shot – but I think it should be the largest difference, not just who looks best, because that's not fucking fair, Bisping. It's the largest difference between the first shot and the second shot. So if you're a big fat fuck and you lose 80 pounds, you're not going to have abs, but it might be more impressive than Bisping going from fucking having okay abs to having great abs.
Stop. What we need is independent adjudication. Okay, we need some people. I think women. I think women. Shannon.
Let's get Paige.
Look at them.
Paige should judge us for the amount of times that we've judged Paige Van Zandt's body. If she's not the person judging this, there is no God. It is not right.
That would be fucking awesome after all the judging we've done. All the judging you guys have done. I said she looks great. She looks awesome. She looks great. And her husband's a very lucky man, you know? Leave
but
that
she
picture
is,
on there. I'm
she's
good
doing
it.
A little hokey pokey dance in order to get that thigh gap. Everyone knows that. I just want to point it
I
out there.
It.
It's fine. We don't even hate Paige. You look great, but you're doing a hokey pokey dance.
I've learned something today. You got to separate the legs, turn the foot out, and there you go. You present the perfect thigh gap. Okay. All right. There you go. If you see me just standing weirdly, next time I'm flexing for a picture in the gym, like, Michael, why are your legs spread so wide? Don't fucking worry about it, okay? Mind your own business. All right. What else we got?
All right. So this is, I guess this is sort of a little bit of a follow-up because we said it was going to happen. Bigfoot Silva got knocked out this past weekend, bare knuckle boxing via Gabe Gonzaga. I didn't watch it. I haven't been watching the events.
No.
Yeah, too much going on, too much MMA to sort of, I don't have to really get there yet. Look, the more guys that get into it, it is more intriguing. The first time I heard about it, I was like, yeah, I have no interest. And now I have almost no interest, but it's better than no interest.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'll be honest, it just wasn't on my radar whatsoever. You know, no disrespect to either of them. I've known Antonio Silva for a long time. He came out to train with us in England and the team I was with in 2004. In fact, the very first day I went there, that's why I went there. They were looking for sparring partners for Antonio Bigfoot Silva. And back then he weighed about 140 kilo, which is like 300 pounds almost. He was fucking gigantic. And all he was doing, he came over from Brazil and was just destroying everybody on the UK regional scene. There was a guy back in the day that was like the man, okay? He was a multiple weight division champion, Tengiz Todorads, I think his name was. And he was like, you know, he was the badass that everyone knew. Fuck, Tengiz? Oh, shit, Tengiz is coming. He's going to wreck shop. Bigfoot came out here. Oh, my God. He threw fucking Tengiz around. like he was a little kid. It was like me beating up Lucas. I swear to God, that's what it looked like. I felt sorry for him. And I've seen Tengiz beat the fuck out of people. And Bigfoot, that's how bad he was in those days. And I mean bad in a good sense. So I've known Bigfoot for a while. Here we go. We're taking a look at it here. Oh, there's Gabe Gonzaga just pouring it on Bigfoot. Couple of uppercuts, drops a right hand or a left hand. Puts him straight down. That was nasty. I mean, listen, talk about it all the time. God bless them both. They're making money good for them. Commiserations, Bigfoot. Well done, Gabe Gonzaga. It's nice to see these old school guys still getting paid.
Yeah. As you were sort of talking about the guy Tengiz, it sort of reminded me. I listened to Chael Sonnen recently because we have a little bit of time left here and we have some questions as well. And let me just actually before I ask you this question, because I think it's an interesting question. In fact, I'll ask you the question and then I'll do plugs and you can think about the answer to this question, Bisping. I heard Bisping.
Well, all right, you ask the question. I'll take a pee. You do the plug. I'll answer and I'll give you some thought and insight. Also, I need to decompress. I need to take a quick minute and just do this in private. Okay, get it together. You're halfway, two-thirds of the way through the show. You haven't had any monumental fuck-ups. You're still out of your mind on pharmaceutical drugs, but you can do this, baby boy, okay? So I'm going to take one of those moments while you do a plug, but continue with your line of questioning.
Okay, so the question is this. I heard Chael Sonnen talk about the toughest man alive that he had ever met, he should say. And it was just a wrestler, and he talked about just sort of this guy training. And it was a really interesting story, just him describing who he considered the toughest dude he had ever met. And I want to pose the same question to you. Who is the tough, besides me, who is the toughest man you've ever met? And that could mean for whatever reason. You can sort of interpret the question however you want to interpret it as toughest. So think about that while you piss and decompress. I'll do some plugs really quick while you think about that, and then you can come back and you can answer that question.
I've got no idea who I'm going to say, but I'll be right back. I got to carry an ice machine with me. If you see this, this is strapped to my leg. It'll take me a minute. Back in the set.
It's okay. It's okay. What a pussy, right, everyone? Oh, my God. Oh, now's the time. Can't do anything. I got another week or two where I could outrun him. Do you think he could beat me now? Like, right now, in that condition? Harrington, what do you think? Right now. I mean, I literally just got to kick him in his leg.
He's a minus 235 favorite.
Yeah, what? No way. No way. Still, no fucking way.
That's down from minus 2,000.
I mean, he is more than a minus 2,000 favorite. He'd have to be a... What would the odds be on... in shape, Michael Bisping, ready to fucking... just now, like after retirement, but still like...
Yeah, like 10,000. Put up 10,000 to win 100.
It'd be crazy. It'd be fucking crazy. So regardless, now's the time. If I'm going to ever beat Michael Bisping, I have to attack him when he's physically unable to handle himself. Here's the deal. You love the show. We've been doing the show for a while. We have every episode of the show available on demand at your fingertips at gasdigitalnetwork.com. The entire on-demand library, uncensored episodes, ad-free episodes, everything we've ever done. The latest 30 episodes are available on iTunes and YouTube. So make sure if you guys are just getting the free episodes, that's great too. Just share them, tell friends about them. Go subscribe on iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review, subscribe on our YouTube channel. We love the positive comments. We always read the comments. We answer your questions there as well. So if you guys ask us any questions or comment on things, just realize that we do take time to answer questions there as well. But if you guys want the entire on-demand library, use that promo code BYM at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Get a 14-day free trial. Get pre-release, ad-free, and uncensored episodes as well. I think I hear Bisping is back. He's huffing and puffing. All right, do a split screen. Is he back or no? No, he's not? Okay. I'm just hearing the fucking sounds of a man dying in the background. There he is. There he is. Holy shit. Okay, so Michael Bisping. This is what we're going to do from now on when we don't have too many topics to talk about. We're just going to steal segments from other podcasts.
Okay.
So who is...
What have we got?
The toughest man. You didn't even think about it, you piece of shit. You just forgot about the question as you left.
I have the fucking answer locked and loaded and ready to go. You changed the subject and said, oh, by the way, new subject. We're just going to start stealing... topics from other podcasts and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, well, go on. Don't you want me to answer the question? Hey, you listen, man. I'm the one on medication right now, but your mind's all over the place.
Doggy, I'm always on medication.
Always, I know. That's why I swerve your calls early in the morning, 8 a.m., Lewis calls. I'm like, no, not a fucking chance, okay? I need 2 or 3 coffees before I take that phone call. Anyway, answer to the question. Would you like it?
I would love it. The toughest man that you've ever met. And why?
All right. I was trying to think about it, and I don't really go around looking at other men. Obviously, I would respect somebody's manliness or durability or whatever it is. And I couldn't really think of anybody. And then I thought, my brother, Conrad, right? Obviously, when we were younger, he was probably the toughest man I knew. And when I say toughest, you know, that's the old-fashioned, get into fights, Conrad. He was absolute gigantic beast of a man. He was a sergeant major in the army. He was a serious dude. He was tough as fuck. He's the only man to beat the shit out of me multiple times. You know, you felt good. Whenever we were going into a situation and Conrad was there, you know, it was like going into a situation with a bulletproof vest on. You know, it's fine. Fucking Conrad's here, bro. You know, because he was a fucking maniac. If you think I'm bad, Conrad was a fucking maniac. And we had some very good times as a kid. And we've definitely got a couple of books we can write there. Believe you me. And I'm not kidding. But the reason I say toughness is because, you know, I've spoken about it a few times. Obviously, he had an accident in the army. A guy came up. He was in the prime of his career. St. Helens Rugby Club, which is a big rugby club, they wanted to sign him as a professional rugby player as well. So his life was on the verge of, you know, turning around and becoming a professional athlete. He always loved rugby. And then, of course, that little shit in the army stuck a pickaxe in his head, right? And then ever since then, you know, he's like 99% blind, severe tunnel vision, severe epilepsy, has fits all the time. He will never, ever work again as a 24/7 carer. You know, he'll never drive. He'll never, you know, he's just not the same. He's just not the same. But he'll fucking forever have my respect because you never, ever hear him complain and feel sorry for himself, you know, and he had his life snapped away from him at a young age. I would say it was 2003, I believe. So that was 16 years ago. So I was 24. He was probably about 27, 26, 27 years old in the prime of his youth and had it snatched away. And then after all that, after them thinking he wouldn't make it, they thought he was going to die and the priest coming and reading last rites and all the rest of it. He comes to, he comes around, he's trying to rip all his tubes out of his brain. He's asking for a cigarette and a coffee. I'm like, wow, he's fine. But of course, you know, he came around. And, you know, he's got severe brain damage. But then he goes on and he becomes, you know, he gets on the national team for shot put and discus. He was trying out to be on the Paralympics. And I just thought, fuck me. You know what I mean? Here's me. You know, I'll be honest. Going through a little fucking mini feeling sorry for myself session because I'm having a knee replacement. You know, and it's self-induced. I did it to myself. And this is all to fix me. So in the long run, it's all going to help me out my quality of life. Here's someone that never chose that. But as I say, the main thing, that's why I say the toughest I ever met, because I've never heard him once say on the phone, oh, I'm fucking bored, silly. What the fuck? What's the point of life anymore? I can't do anything. I sit here. I can't run around with my kids. I can't do this. I can't do that. Do you know what I mean? So in that respect, from that angle, yeah, I'd say that's the toughest guy I know.
Yeah, and I mean, it does put it into perspective, because I'm not sure exactly how much you were considering that or thinking about that over the past few days, but you know, I mean, it's easy to feel bad for yourself. You think of, you know, whatever it is, the worst thing that's happening to you in your life right now, right? I can think of some just annoying things happening in my life, right? Whatever it is, just little stupid things. And then I go,
trivial shit.
Yeah.
Trivial shit.
It's not a fucking pickaxe being stuck in my head. It's not me losing my mobility or my ability to be cognitive and to think on my feet and to be funny. You know, even as we're talking about guys retiring from fighting, you think about something like that where a simple accident, you know, you or I couldn't be able to be quick-witted and have these conversations and to be funny or be, you know, in the moment. And that could sort of be taken away from you. And I think that when you sort of go, what was me? And you think about your worst day, my worst day probably ever is nowhere near as bad as Conrad's first day or worst day. You know, you have to sort of be reminded of those stories sometimes to appreciate what you have going on in life. And even as you said that, I started going like, fuck, dude, life's pretty good, to be honest.
No, for sure. I mean, we all complain about it. And again, you know, we're sitting here in blessed, fortunate positions. We have a successful podcast. You're a successful comedian. I've fucking had a great fight career. You know, it's like, oh, we're taking a moment. We sound like these assholes that get awards at the fucking Emmys and whatnot, you know, but that's not what we're doing. We're just saying, listen, the fucking, we're in great positions. I mean, it's hard for my brother. It really is. That's why we don't speak very often. And I gotta do better at that. We don't talk on the phone very much. Because it's hard for me. I'm thinking, well, what am I going to say? Do you know what I mean? Oh, I was flying here. I was in Sao Paulo. I'm going to England next week. I'm living this great, wonderful life. And I know you're just sat at home with fucking brain damage and can't do too much. Do you know what I mean? So it's difficult for me, but I got to get better at staying in contact with him, you know?
Yeah, that is hard, dude. That's fucking, you don't really consider that, man. It's easier to sort of keep it out of sight and out of mind. I see that happening a lot with whatever friends or family, whatever it is, you know, you sort of blind yourself to the fucking bad shit that's going on. And it's honestly, it's a selfish thing. I do it all the time. Like, I just don't want to deal with it, whatever it is.
Hey, listen, Jesus Christ. I mean, not so much this weekend, because this was to be expected. I knew I was going to be in absolute agony. I knew I was going to be, you know, bound to the couch and the bed, and that's about it. You know, I've been sitting outside in the sun and doing a bit of reading. I mean, to be honest, it sounds fucking pleasant. My buddy called me yesterday. He lives in Toronto. He said it's five degrees freeze. He said, what are you doing? I'm sat in my underpants in the back garden. I'm reading a book and I'm having a beer. Do you know what I mean? That's a vacation to some people. Do you know what I mean? But I'm feeling sorry for myself.
Life is so hard. You're sitting by a fucking pool. You got a gorgeous wife just fanning you off, feeding you grapes. You have maybe the best life ever right now.
Yeah, it's fucking great. And I've got a reason to take drugs and be off my face, you know, by doctor's orders. No, but, you know, prior to that, you know, sometimes life just gets you down. It does, you know, and you all have your good days and your bad days. And regardless of you, how much you look at someone's life and you think, wow, they've really got it made, you know, all the superficial bullshit, none of that really matters when it comes down to it. Yeah, of course, money can't buy you happiness, but it sure as hell helps you deal with the misery of life. Do you know what I mean? The shit that really gets you down. Yeah. You know what I mean? The bills and like all that type of stuff, those pressures, it eradicates those pressures, but it doesn't help you other than that. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't help your mental space if you've got, you know, real problems, if there's sickness in your family and things like that. So, you know, you can still be depressed. And I'll be honest, I was close to being a victim. I was close to feeling a bit sorry for myself. And I've got fucking no reason to. I've got no reason to be, you know what I mean, whatsoever. You know, I've had a great career. I've got a beautiful wife. I've got children. I live in a nice place. We've got a, I've got a roof above me, you know. I've got cash in the bank. No reason to feel sorry for myself.
You could have a golden knee, but you opted for a cheaper knee. It's not a big deal. Anyway.
A little bit annoyed at that.
You could have a nicer knee. Simple as that, but that's okay.
A little bit annoyed. I saw it. I put it on Instagram. A fucking solid gold knee. I'm like, that is dope. I want one of those. Didn't even give me the option. Stainless steel.
Wow.
Shitty stainless steel. One day when I'm dead and buried and they dig up my body, right, the people of the future, they'll see the metal knee and they'll just go, working class.
Do they take the gold knee back out of your body after you die? Like, would your family take the gold knee out, melt it down, turn it into spinners? I don't know what they do with it, but...
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I did want my original knee. I said, when you take my knee out, I said, can I have it, please? I want to have it. I want to put it in some like solution in like a clear box. I mean, come on, dude. That's a pretty cool thing to have. And a little bit creepy, but I want my knee. I said, that is my physical possession. I own that knee more than anybody in this world. That's my fucking knee. I want it. He said, yeah, no, it ain't going to resemble a knee. We're just going to chip it apart and hack away at it and drill it and all types of stuff. So there's not going to be an actual knee. They don't take it out like that.
I thought you were trying to put it under your pillow to see if the knee fairy came and left you any sort of treat. I don't know. I don't know England. I don't know English fucking traditions. I don't know what they do over there.
I don't know. All I know is that if you're taking a knee out, you put in a metal one in, I'd like to take a gander at the knee. Let me have a look at it. I might get bored after a minute and throw it in the bin. Give it to Alfie to chew on, probably. Do you know what I mean? That dumb fuck will have a field day. But I'm like, I'd like to at least take a look at the knee. Anyway, enough knee for one day. Questions, what have we got?
Well, don't have a knee-jerk reaction, Mike. We will get to these questions. I'll be here all night, guys. BYMPod
at gmail. Needless to say.
Oh, boy. If you want to join the conversation, if you are one of those needy fans that want to be involved, you can shoot us an email at bympod@gmail.com. Not gmail.com. That is gmail.com. bympod@gmail.com. God, best man with your knee pun. I see it.
No, I was just going to say, she's trying to make it exceedingly good. It's so best bad. I've got. It's the best exceedingly good.
It's terrible. So.
Well, let's say Brendan Shaw fucking throws him out. Oh, in fact, let's try it. Come on, give me a knee. Give me a knee. Give me a knee thing.
What needed. Need
needed to. Needless to say. What are some other ones? Come on, you're the quick witty stand up.
Maybe we should make some pizza and knead the dough.
Yeah, this is terrible. It's all bad. I can think of is a racial one. That's all I can think of. I mean,
what racial
something
one?
Something to do with Negro. Negro.
Oh, that was good.
There's going to be something on the line. Just go.
Okay. Okay. So if you want to join the conversation, bympod@gmail.com. Shoot us an email, fan art, whatever it is. We have a few video questions today, right?
Yeah, the first one is from Milne Kittner.
Hey, what's up, Uncle Bisbing Luis?
Are you getting out of town?
I wanted to say I had a great time at the Kiltony podcast taping. Harrington, pull up some pictures from that.
Hold on, pause it for a minute. No, I want to pause it. Because Harrington has no idea how to use the system.
No.
Because Brian's not sitting here right now, and he's just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I just want everyone to point that out. Because they say we're too mean to Harrington, but you guys have no idea how mean we want to be to him.
Okay.
No, 100%. And then he just started, as we were still talking, we hadn't even said roll tape, he starts playing it in the background. Now, secondly, Millie Knee? It's not Millie Knee. His name's Millie.
Yeah, no, Milne was a play on the Millie. You guys were doing knee puns for five, but you forgot that part?
Yeah, we're going to need a new producer.
I'm going to knee you in the face. How about that? A good old-fashioned one. This guy, Millie, right? Is it Millie or Billy?
Millie.
I met him recently outside the Comedy Store. He was there. Lovely guy. Lovely fella. Great meeting you. And now, Harrington, at your pleasure. Roll tape, audio, and visual.
Hey, what's up, Uncle Bisbing and Luis J. Gomez? First of all, I wanted to say I had a great time at the Kiltony podcast taping. Harrington, pull up some pictures from that Kiltony thing. Look, here's me with Luis J. Gomez. Me with Josh Barnett, War Master. Anyway, thanks for taking a picture with me. Michael Bisbing, at the bar, thank you for treating me like a normal person,
woman,
like a buddy, rather than an annoying fan. Anyway, Bisping, this question is for you.
Yeah, I was hitting on him pretty hard. I'm like, God, this girl is cute as hell. No, hold on. So he shows a picture of you and Lewis, shows a picture of him and Josh Barnett. Why not a picture of me and him? That's what I thought he was going to.
Did you take a picture with him?
How could I not say? How would I not take a picture, Lewis? He thanked me for treating him like a normal person.
But that's what I'm saying. Maybe he was saying, thank you for treating me like a normal person, not a fan. And you guys had a moment versus him taking a picture being like, which is fine,
well,
which is better. You said that, actually. He might have, he listens to the show, and you've said on the show multiple times, you've said this, and maybe, Millie, let us know if I'm wrong about this, but you've said, like, hey, dude, just come and fucking talk shit for a minute. Have a normal interaction. It doesn't have to be, like, just a snapshot. You could actually have a conversation for a few minutes, and it could be a more unique moment. I think we're obsessed with, you know, showing off the Instagram photo or showing off the social media stuff, but instead, you know, you have a real conversation, have a real moment with somebody, and that's something that he's going to, you know, be able to remember way more than just simply a photo.
Yeah, all right. Now you made me feel bad and look bad and sound bad. Play the question.
When you were roasted by the big black comedian, dude, you seemed genuinely angry. Now tell me, were you just putting on a show for the audience, or did those eye jokes really get to you? Let me know. Thanks.
I love his production quality.
Yeah, right? It's way better than anything we can offer.
I know.
In fact, Harrington, you messed up. You're fired. Millie, I think he lives in Orange County. Yeah. I also live in Orange County. Millie, step into my office. We need to talk, brother. We need to talk.
Millie could crush it. Imagine Millie started being our producer, our West Coast producer. I have Harrington here. Oh, I want to fucking kill myself.
Millie, give me a call or email the podcast or something. What was the question? Yeah. All right. Okay. So here's the thing, right? And I don't mind saying, right? I don't really smoke weed. And if I do, it's here and there. And I'm certainly a fucking lightweight. You know what I mean? But we're all there in the green room and you're all smoking joints.
Well, sponsored by
Speedweed. Well, you're all the entire event sponsored by Speedweed. You're all smoking weed. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm one of the guys. Let me hit that baby. Do you know what I mean? And then we walk out there and it's sold out and it's packed and it looks, well, I couldn't see anything anyway because of all the lights and stuff. But I'm like, holy shit. And then I just like really got really, really, really paranoid. And I couldn't think of anything to say. And I'm thinking, think of something to say. I sound ridiculous. And then I'd say just the stupidest thing. I'm like, oh God, don't say anything. And then after 10 minutes again, they'd be like, think of something to say. You're sitting here and not saying anything. I'm like, fuck
it's a
me.
Little, it's a little,
why
the drug.
Did I do that? Why did I do that? It's the most stupidest thing ever, right? So anyway. David Lucas, the fat fog that he is, comes up on stage and just immediately starts talking shit about me. Starts talking shit about my eye. Now, here's the thing, right? I pulled my eye out on here recently, so I won't do it. But I can take my eyelid right now and go, zing, and push the eye to the other side. And it looks fucking bizarre, right? And on the rare occasion, you know how sometimes you have something stuck in your eye, so you might just do that.
Yeah.
On the rare occasion, I'll do that, and my wife goes, oh, Michael, shit. Your eyes pointing the other way. I look in the mirror, I'm like, whoa, that's not good. That's not a good look. And anyway, it's dark in there. I've got my eyepiece in, and he's going, yo, where are you looking at, man? You're looking at me because your eyes are looking over there, right? But in my mind, I'm thinking, shit, I've been sat here on this stage for 2 hours ever, and I'm a fucking eye looking the opposite direction, you stoned motherfucker. Right. So, yeah, I was starting to get a little self-conscious. I was starting to get a little like I needed to look in a mirror. I'm like, I don't know what's going on right now. And I'm like, and on top of that, why are you picking on me? You fat motherfucker with no fashion sense whatsoever. Do not start on appearances. Do not start on appearances, baby boy, because you're losing. You are losing that battle all day. So, yeah, that's why. And I would love to go on there and again and shoot the shit with him because I was, you know, I was a little, I was not in a good place right there.
Yeah, look, it was, what's funny is after the show, you and him were talking and shooting the shit backstage. So, it didn't end weird. But there was a moment where I looked over at David Lucas and I'm like, doggy, please shut the fuck up. Bisping's going to kick you in your head, and it's going to be a problem. And also, he's got a cross eye. Who is he fucking talking about? He has a cross eye just from his fucking mom smoking crack when she was pregnant with him. At least yours is from a fucking badass story.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, so that's probably why he felt that he could go there. Do you know what I mean? Because there isn't many things in this world. And in fact, I think I'm past the eye now as well. The eye used to be really sensitive. Mainly from other fighters. If somebody else said anything, it never really bothered me. But if another fighter made fun of my eye, I used to get so mad because I'm like, are you serious? Fucking God forbid this ever happens to you, Pat, but you're going to sit there and mock me. So, but that's the only thing. But now, because I'm retired and now people knows about it, I'm not trying to keep it a secret anymore.
Well,
I'm not overly offensive.
You were never super defensive about it. I mean, literally since I've known you, you know, we've made jokes here and there about it. It's never been something that you've been super defensive about. The reality is I've seen you get upset with fighters in the past and sort of work yourself up into a thing like where you're like, yeah, fuck you, dude. I see yourself almost like talk yourself into it, because I've seen you talk about Weidman before and I've seen you talk about a few other guys where you really get like passionate, where you're like, dude, this could fucking happen to anybody. And it happened off of a guy that was cheating and I got a literal injury that changed my life. You know, not just your career, not just the fight game, but your life and the way you live your life. And it's just, I understand that from a fighter's perspective, you almost go like, yeah, dude, you're not supposed to be that guy. It's like when comedians trash other comedians for telling offensive jokes. I'm like, no, you're supposed to fucking get it, dude. You're supposed to understand that fucking thing. And I get very passionate about it. So I think it's sort of, it becomes a very personal thing from fighters.
Why? What's going on, Lewis? You haven't been involved in some kind of misunderstanding recently with another comedian
Never.
That thought you were being disrespectful? Nothing? Nothing to talk about?
Not a comedian. I'll say that much. No. I've not been in any spats with any comedians. Thank you very much.
Okay. How would you best describe somebody that you've been in a spat in with recently? Word of the day, spat.
No fucking comment. No comment. No comment. I'm being above it, Michael Bisping. I'm just trying to. Let me not get into it.
You are now above it. You are now above it. You weren't. You were like treading water underneath it for a while. You were treading water, and the surface was there. And now and again, you give it a powerful tread, and you go, you get a breath, then you fall back under the surface. That's what you were doing for the most part. Now you're above. Now you've rose above and you've climbed out of the pool. You're even drying off and you're stepping away. I'm proud of you. In fact, you're at the lockers. You're getting your shoes on. On the way out, you're going to get yourself a little cup of soup, maybe a water because you burned some calories. You're a little thirsty. You need a nice drink, maybe a gentle stroll to the car park. Then you're going to drive home. Okay. But you, up until recently, were still treading water in the pool of whatever that was.
I realize in the middle of it that I'm playing a game that is unfucking winnable. And if anybody wants to hear the story we're talking about, I did Jim and Sam on SiriusXM. I did that recently. You can go hear the whole story. Look for Luis J. Gomez on Jim and Sam. It's on YouTube, I believe. You can hear the story because I'm not talking about it anymore. I learned some real lessons dealing with people that are on the outside that aren't, you know, comedians and don't understand what I do and what we do. And I learned a lot about editing and how that all fucking works. So that's all I'll say. And I got to move on. I really do.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. But I did enjoy that. I did enjoy it. But I've got to move on from you. You don't understand the amount of times everybody, he sits there and he wants to talk about this. I'm like, I can't talk about that. I really can't talk about that. I fucking definitely cannot talk about that. But he's talking about it, and I'm like, oh god, because I'm involved in the situations, I know too much. Circle of trust, rule one, it's glaring at me. So yeah, you can't talk about that, and I respect that, Lewis. Roll the next video question, please, Harrington.
All right, well, this is from Mitchell, and he has something completely new. He has summarized one of our latest episodes, Triangle of Shite.
I call this poem The Triangle of Shite. Bisping in Tampa, drinking all night. Falling off the wagon, nearly missed his 5 a.m. flight. Tour in the kitchen, get me out of here now. Lewis was on Instagram, having a row. Stories of childhood and being a bully. Nailed by a big-headed kid. I found it very funny. 14-day trial of Monday.com. Gifford's dad in his corner, cheering him on. Should the towel come in from the fighter's own camp? Harrington says Mike is the BMF champ. Psychological food addictions, got to eat more. Phones in the safe, slip and fall on the floor.
What the fuck is going on?
The last ever Gracie, great performance from Cub. Yelling, Alfie, shut up, or get the birds in the pub. Native deodorant Harrington needs it the most. Your best ever meals are tuna and mouldy toast. Detective brass knuckles on CSI. Couldn't get his words out and he started to cry. The boys nearly missed the review on the main event. Mike still keeps on saying 100%. Christ takes down Vic. Watch out, James. Here comes the upkick. You hear that sound echo around the arena. He couldn't have caught him any cleaner. Way worse than a 12-6 elbow or a flying knee. Under the desk texting, Rebecca, get me a coffee.
Love it. Love it.
Who sent that in, Harrington?
That was by a gentleman named Mitchell King.
Mitchell the King. I love
Mitchell King. We salute you, sir. That was awesome. Really, really good. Really recapped some of the talking points over the last 6 weeks or so, or whatever it was. But yeah, very, very well delivered. I like the little bit of like soft music in the background, even though it kind of went against the rhythm and the tone of the poem. It kind of added to the ambiance of the video. But I gotta say, well done, my friend. Well done, Lewis. You had your hand up.
Well, I was going to say, I really like it. Now, it was a little long. I would say make it a minute, Mitchell. 1 minute. And then what I'll say is if you upload them to Twitter and tweet it at us, I'll make sure we will retweet every episode recap that you do. If you do a poem episode, because he asked if he could do episode recaps, it's going to be a little bit old on the show after 2 weeks. 2 weeks, we're going to be like, all right, Mitchell, we're over this. But if you upload it to Twitter and tweet it, I promise you the BYM Twitter at BYM Pod will retweet the poetic recaps of our episodes.
I thought the video was awesome, Mitchell. Sorry, I was trying to respond to what you said, but I wasn't really listening and my mind's drifting. You know, medication.
It's a heroin
but
problem.
How is your rhyming ability like that, Lewis? Do you think you could just on the fly come up with something like that? I mean, of course, he wrote that, Mitchell. I mean, that was a work of art. That was genius. That will go down through the ages of one of the best poems ever pen has put to paper. But how's your rhyming skills? Just off the cuff, go ahead. What can you do? Just
are you,
like, you talk about something in the room.
Are you challenging me to a rap battle, cocksucker? I'll destroy you right now. That's what you're.
Yeah, I'm high on drugs right now, and I'll beat you in a rap battle. Or maybe that would help.
Give me a beat. Give me a fucking beat, Harrington. Okay. Ooh, like just some.
How am I going to do this? No. But you can't say something you know. You got to make up something about Harrington not bringing the music.
Sure.
I heard the door Rebecca's going to walk through with. Here's the dog. Alfie, don't take a shit. Oh, my God. I got to deal with it. Louis J. pointing the finger. Motherfucker, why you got to linger? Throwing it over right to you. Let's see what the Louis going to do.
Aw, shit, it's Michael Bisping hanging out, doing his thing. Where is Alfie? Where's Rebecca? Coming at ya, gonna say heck yeah. And where's that 18-year-old girl always walking around in her underwear in Michael Bisping's place? No, seriously, bring her over. She's pretty cool.
Megan!
She looks like she's got a lot to say.
Ellie!
No, stop.
She's a business piece.
Stop having your daughter and her teenage friends
dancing. Oh my God, I ain't gonna say it twice. Lucas, come over here with that weird look on your face.
Don't call him a queer. Here. Do not call him a queer. I know you wanted to.
We need some hip hop bitches. Rebecca! We need some hip hop bitches in this piece.
Lucas, give us a rap.
Say hi.
Hi.
Say a rap.
No.
You know, I was DJ Mikey B back in the day. Okay?
He's too white. Come on, Lucas, show your inner Puerto Rican.
Now, give me the headphones. Get out of here. Go on.
You had good rapping
all
skills.
Right, well, that was just a weird off-the-cuff little segment there. But
you're high on drugs.
Broke my headphones. Hold on.
It's all right.
We go. We're back. We're back. Do we have a question, though?
Do we have another question? Nope, that's it. Let's wrap this one. We're good. We're over 90 minutes. And you have to get back to rest. We have another show this week. This has been a fun one. This is great. And honestly, I like when you're high on drugs in the show. It gets sillier. You do fucking hip-hop battles. It's great.
Delete this segment from the
no
the
podcast,
way. Please, everybody.
No fucking way. This is the best segment ever.
I'm joking. Yeah, all right. We'll leave it there. All right, well, that's that. We'll be back Wednesday with another show. Take care, guys. All the best. Enjoy your week.